Now, here you have a person who joins the Krishna Consciousness Movement and does a lot of service, works a lot, and follows all kinds of rules and principles and practices, who's knowledgeable in philosophy, but who then starts in the middle of, meanwhile, while doing all this, to behave violent against other devotees, to beat and hurt children and even sexually molesting them, who shows no remorse and no empathy to the suffering of others. Then when he is exposed enough, when all that becomes revealed, his true character, then one quotes the verse Apichet Sudaracharo from the Bhagavad Gita. To the effect that, well, look at all he has done. He is a saintly person, and Krishna says here that even if a saintly person performs abominable activities, he's yet to be considered saintly because he is firmly situated in his service. Now, a person who has such a character, such a callous, violent, uncaring, non-emphatic character, sadistic or even pedophile, how can such a person be a sadhu? And I think that's really what should be considered here and questioned. What is it that makes a person, a Vaishnava or a sadhu, a holy person, a saintly person? Is it because of dressing a certain way, talking in a certain way, being very learned, being able to perform rituals and chant mantras? and all of that. Is it? Or is it determined by the state of one's heart? Shiva Karunika Sarada Sarvadevam, and so on. Well, that is how a saintly person is. Now, if such a person who actually has those personal inner qualities by conditioning, habit, or weakness, is victimized by lust or whatever, and performs activities, an activity that is bad, it is said durasaya. It's not the same as papa or sinful or criminal or. And Prabhupada also, in his purport, describes it more in terms of falling victim to one's senses. Which is a completely different thing. So I would say, let this be a lesson to us all. Not to judge each other. By position and title and external activities, but by actual Vaishnava qualities, actual, especially for a Brahman, actual Brahminical qualities. Now, since the latest case happened, as seems to often be the case here in Vrindavan and Mayapur, I remember coming to Mayapur in the beginning of 97 or 98, I'm not fully sure. Must have been 97. Or 96, ugh. I had a 12-year-old boy accompanying me, the son of a friend who wanted to try out for some weeks being a student in then Bhaktivedanta Swami's school. Or in the school of Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami, who was there and clearly in charge, as usual. Of that which I understood it, Brahminical part of the Gurukul. I remember then cautioning the boy that he could expect a high Brahminical standard. That might be difficult for him, but he wanted to give it a try. Then I had to leave Mayapur for a couple of weeks, and when I came back, the boy didn't look very well at all. And the story it told me wasn't a nice story. He had become very sick, but nobody took care of him. The other boy seemed to look down upon him. Was a little chubby. And of course, a bit different from them. He told me at one point he was so tired he could hardly move. And the others just left him there, lying in his own vomit. Even laughing at him, calling him fatso and making jokes about his weight. I remember then being bewildered. Aren't these boys supposed to be Brahminical? And doesn't Brahminical mean just that? Atikshava Karunika Suvida Sarvadena Pajata Shatrava Shantus Sadhava Sadhavusha. But what really confused me was that Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami didn't seem to care at all. Well, I had been there in Mayapur fairly often during the 90s, and back in 94, I think, or maybe even 91, I had interviewed a young Gurukul boy. Who had told his story about how he was systematically sexually abused every night, more or less. It was a true horror story, and although then I didn't feel I could do much about it. I now think I should have tried more. And I'm now aware that I had become very emotionally distanced, dull, numb. Maybe after living too much in some ideal philosophical universe, in a happy, perfect society. That was actually just a surface. And where the most important life and the feelings and the well-being of the devotees, the members, the people, came secondary. Or wasn't even noticed at all. Sometimes. Well, I did confront Bhaktivedya Purna Swami a bit that last time. Asking him what had happened. And I remember reacting at how indifferent and uninterested he was in, well, even in discussing it, even a bit disturbed that I took his time talking about such things. He was sitting there in front of his nightly yajna fire, in a scene that looked like taken from a movie about a historical costume movie from India. And seemed rather content with that. I was really wondering then with what kind of education these boys got that equipped them for a life in this modern world. And now I was even more doubtful, but there was, and maybe still is, a limit to what you can do and say, and before you are just dismissed as a envious snake. All I can say today is I'm so sorry, I feel so ashamed of having been a member even in a leadership position in a movement where such behavior what's going on. Towards sensitive children. Destroying their lives.